The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Today we're going to continue as we look into the basic doctrines, the elementary teachings that are found in Hebrews chapter 6. But before we go there, I'd like for you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Many of you probably have this as a memory verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, is profitable for reproof, is profitable for correction, and is profitable for instruction in righteousness. With that in mind, please now go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 1 we begin. Hebrews chapter 6 in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, the word doctrine in our modern language probably would be better translated simply as the word teaching. It is the teachings of Christ. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. Because we're not wanting to stop here. These are the elementary principles. Therefore, leaving the principles or the basic teachings or the first teachings. These are things that every Christian, every true believer is to have in their life. They are to have these things. And one is based upon the other. And so we have to have number one first. We have to have number two second. And by the time we get through the end of this, we'll pull it all together and I'll show you how it all ties together and why this statement is true. But let's continue on. And so we see, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Not laying again the foundation of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And so today, we want to examine this doctrine, this teaching of faith toward God. So with this in mind, let's go now to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, as we begin this doctrine, this teaching of Christ, of faith toward God. Verse number 16, Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Now that's an incredible verse. I mean, if you stop and you think about this, just think about what this verse is actually telling us. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And this term that we have, faith to faith, in some translations, modern translations, has the word faith by faith. Probably a better way for us to understand what it is meaning when it says faith to faith, it means it is an ever-increasing faith. It just keeps adding on. It just keeps getting bigger, whatever faith is. It is an ever-increasing faith. As it is written, The just are the people of God. The just are the ones who are living a godly way of life. Yes, making mistakes, falling down, getting up, repenting, and going on. Yes, the just are going to live by faith, this ever-increasing faith, or faith to faith. And the just are to live by faith. So both of these statements that we find in this one verse, in verse 17 here, is a very important statement that the just are going to live by faith and they are going to have an ever-increasing faith. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is... I've told you this before. I love it in the Bible whenever it says something is... And then we know the answer. We know what is going to tell us after. So whatever it tells us after is we know this is what faith is. And so this is a good place. This is a good place to start. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And they go, well, wait a minute. This doesn't really tell me a lot. I still don't know what faith is. Well, yeah, we do. It just told us. We may not know what these other words mean, but we know what it is. And that's what we have to do, is we have to take a look and see what this is talking about. So that's what we're going to do. Let's go on. Verse 2. For by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Because they had faith, they had a good report. This is what it's saying. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He just told us it was by faith that we believe that the world was created. Do we believe that God created the heavens and the earth? Absolutely. How do we know that? We believe it. We can see it. How do we come to the place that we believe that God did it? He just told us. That's faith. That's what it says. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaks. His example still cries out to us that his example, the example of Abel, is still crying out to us that it was an act of faith. That God told them to bring an offering. They did. One was accepted, one was not accepted. The one that was accepted was a matter of faith. He believed God said what he told him to do. He said, God said this, this is what he did. We don't have all the details about all of that, but we know that this is what this is telling us. And then in verse 5, he's going through what we would refer to as the faith chapter. In chapter 11 and verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He lived a way of life that was pleasing to God. This is what this is telling us. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that God is. And that God, I'm reading in the pronouns here for clarity's sake, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek God. It's by faith. We live our life based upon faith. Verse 17. Drop down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now we know that's talking about back in Genesis chapter 22. And he says, take your son, your only son Isaac, and take him out to the spot that I'm going to tell you. And they traveled over 3 days' journey. And he took him up on the mountaintop. But before he goes up on the mountaintop, we're not going to read that account. You have it. You can go back. But before he takes him up, the young men that were with him, he said, you fellows wait here. The lad and I are going to go up and we'll return again. But he went out with full intentions of taking his life. Because Abraham believed God, that's a matter of faith, that God was going to do what God had told Abraham that God was going to do. That he was going to reward him. That he was going to do all of these incredible things through him and through his son Isaac. So he takes him up. And he did come back with the son, with the lad, as he said. So faith, putting it in a real simplified term then, so faith is the groundwork of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen yet. We know we're going to see them, but we haven't seen them yet. But we know we're going to. Why? Because God said so. Because God said so. To put it very simple, faith is having a total confidence in God. It is having a total confidence in God. If God says X is going to happen, we totally believe it. We don't know how. We haven't seen the details. We don't know the circumstances, but we believe God is going to do it. That is faith. So here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. God does not speak about what we would refer to maybe as having a blind faith. It isn't blind faith, because without faith it is impossible to please God. So it's not a blind faith. We don't see the end result, but we believe the end results. We therefore must believe that God is. And we must believe that God does reward those who diligently seek God. This is very active. There's nothing passive about faith. It is a very active thing. We have changed our entire way of life, our whole way of doing things, because of this topic of faith. Because God said, I want you to crawl into this watery grave and become dead with Jesus Christ, and I'm going to raise you up, and I'm going to change you from flesh to spirit at the end of the days. And we crawl into the watery grave. It's called baptism. We'll get to that in the next one. But I'm jumping ahead, but I want to show you the point. We did that, and as a result of that, we changed our entire whole way of life. We stopped doing all the things that we've learned that were wrong, that we shouldn't be doing, and our whole life changed. Why? Because we believe God. That process of the believing of God is called faith toward God. So that's why this is a very important, this is a very huge topic whenever you analyze it and whenever you nail it down and start thinking about it. And so let's also please realize, faith is not hope. They're two different things. Faith is not positive desire. And so we don't need to make a mistake about the fact that faith is not hope and faith is not positive desire. That's something else. Hope is good. And hope relates to the future. However, faith takes the promise as if it is done now. Many people have hope. They're anxiously looking for results, but they lack the settled confidence and presence assurance that faith has, or that faith brings about in our lives. So what is faith? So what is faith? Or what does it mean to have faith? I want to go through, I've kind of done them out with bullets in my notes because I can keep it separate that way. You don't just see different points about it. What does it mean to have faith, or what is faith? However you would want to ask that. And so let's do this. The first one I have is, in a general sense of the word, to have faith is to believe in something or someone. It means to fully trust. It would mean to be so confident that we base our actions on what we believe. We believe that God is. And we believe that God is going to keep His words. And we believe the words of God. And so our whole action, our whole way of life has been changed as a result of faith. To have faith is to be fully convinced of the truthfulness and the reliability of that we believe. We believe it because we trust God. We don't believe it because the minister have told us. We believe it because God has said this, whatever it is that God has said, to cause us to change our entire whole way of life. And I know we've changed our whole way of life, right? Because we're here on a Saturday afternoon with absolute total belief that this is the Sabbath, that it's the fourth commandment of God. God said, here are some rules that I want you to live life by, and you're going to be blessed for doing these things. And one of them, number four, is remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And we're attempting to do that. Our whole way of life has been changed because we believe God. Another point is, faith toward God then is having the kind of trust and confidence in God that leads us to commit our whole being to Him as Savior and Lord. He is the boss. He's the one that's in charge. If He says, this is what I want you to do, then we attempt to do it. Because He's God. And we believe Him. And so we put our faith, we put our whole life being, our actions around the fact that we believe that God is. And that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. Another point, it's not so much a point other than just to reiterate it in another way. The New International Version translates it this way. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Which I like that. I like the way it's put. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The New King James Version says it, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's go to another point. Faith is a spiritual substance. It's not physical. It's spiritual. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is a spiritual substance. I have faith. I'm just using a phrase here. I'm not saying this is what I believe. I'm just making a statement. It could be stating, you know, I have this faith that God is going to give me $1 million. That's not biblical faith. That's human hope. Because it's not spiritual. I have faith that God is going to change us in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. And we're going to be saved. That's spiritual. Because we've seen nobody having that happen to them. We have the example of Jesus Christ, of course. But that's to set the example to show that it's real. It's really going to happen. It is a spiritual substance. When we have this spiritual substance in us, it is like hoping for something that is truly established even before we see any material or physical evidence that it has happened. It is in us when we have this spiritual thinking, when we have this spiritual substance, this faith is a spiritual substance before we have any physical evidence. We believe it. And I just gave you one. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, that has not happened. But hasn't our whole way of life changed because we believe that to be true? That's faith, and that's seeing that faith is a spiritual substance. And another point is faith is a spiritual force. There is a force behind this, in this. Faith in God is a response to God's word that moves God to act. What if we didn't believe Him? What if we didn't believe Him? Oh, He's not going to really do that. He's really not in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last, not really going to do that. Do you think that's going to happen? To the person who believes that? You know, really, God's really not going to do that. Do you think that's going to happen to that person? Probably not. Because God is not moved to action, because the person really doesn't respond. So faith in God is a response to God's word. And as a result of our responding to God's word, that moves God to act, to carry on and to do what he says he's going to do. That's the spiritual force that I'm referring to. With that in mind, go with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark 11 and verse 23, Jesus Christ speaking. Mark 11 and verse 23, "For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain," I'm going to emphasize certain words, "whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Faith is a spiritual force. When words are mixed with real, pure faith, that it can and it will do what? Move mountains. That's what Jesus Christ said. If there was this need, this physical mountain could be removed by a spiritual force. And the belief that that could happen is faith. Or not only any mountain, but also any other problems that we may face. Any problem that we may face. And the reason is because faith causes us to know in our hearts before we see with our eyes the physical result. Because we believe God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now, here's the thing. It's being a true believer, it's a follower of God. This statement in our lives is true or not true. We're either walking by faith or we're walking by sight. To walk by faith is having faith toward God, is believing God. To walk by sight is trusting in self or somebody else. Therefore, brethren, I believe that it could be safe for us to say that faith toward God must be from the heart, and it must be coming from within us. It is not merely intellectual, it is spiritual. Now go with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. Romans 10 and verse 10. "For with the heart man believes unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." The confession is, we believe God. We believe God is, and we believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. And as a result of that, we have altered our entire way of life. We mentioned Abraham a little bit earlier. I'd like for us to look at Abraham, known as the father of the faithful. I wonder why. I wonder why he's called father of the faithful. Because he believed God. He acted on what God had told him. He believed God was going to do what he says he was going to do. And he diligently sought God. You know, we know the story. I already went through this. Taking his son out 3-day walk. You know, took the wood, took the knife, took all the stuff that was needed to do a sacrifice except the animal, except to the fact that he had his son who God had told him to take along as the sacrifice. He believed God. Yet at the base of the mountain, he tells him, he says, "We're going to come back. We're going to come back down." That's absolute faith and trust and confidence in God. After this whole incident happens and God says, "Now I know that whatever I ask you to do, you're going to do it." Wouldn't it be great to have God to write that in the Bible about us behind our name? "Now I know whatever I ask this person to do, they're going to do it." Father the faithful. It was a test of faith. Do you understand that that's what he was testing? He was testing his faith. God was testing Abraham's faith in this situation. So faith, as we've already established, we'll say it again, faith causes action. And the action in this place was it caused obedience. This is what I want you to do. And Abraham went and did it. Now we know he physically didn't stab his son, but the knife was in his hand. Isaac was as good as dead. He did it as far as the letter of the law, in the sense, not true letter of the law, would mean he actually physically killed him, but in the sense of his mind and his heart, and his, he was ready to do it. Hold it, wait a minute, the angel says. That's not exactly what God wants you to do. You see, there's a lamb over there, and we want you to sacrifice that. Okay. But he was willing to do it. And so this was caused an action, and the action in this case was obedience. He looked only to God's promise to make him a father. And if this says, and I want you to take your son, your only son, and he promised he's going to make a father of him, of many nations and all of the promises, how could he do it if his only son is dead? He believed God was going to do what God said he was going to do. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. We've been there. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I like to put in the word yet. Meaning they're going to. It's going to happen. I hope that we see the fact that God has promised was all that Abraham needed. Now what about us? Is that enough for us to change our way of life? Because God promised something that we change our life. Jesus also preached about this topic of faith toward God. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Verse 14, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. This is when Jesus had been added to the mountains for the purpose to be tempted of the devil. The test is over, the 40 days of fasting and all of that. The angels came and ministered unto him, and now he's walking back in, and this is what is going on. This is what it says. And Jesus, in verse 15, and Jesus saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. He started off with the two basic doctrines, 1 and 2. Repent and believe. Repentance from dead works and faith toward God. This is the opening message. This is the beginning of the sermons, if you want to use this term, of Jesus Christ of his ministry. 1 and 2. Let's go to Romans with this in mind. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Many will have this one, I know, committed to memory. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. That's an entire sermon. Brethren, we are to believe deeply in the Messiah. We are to believe deeply in his message. We are to believe deeply in his sacrifice. We are to believe deeply in his life. And this is faith toward God. His whole life is a summation, in one sense, of faith toward God. He lived this out. in his life. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Very important statements here, several. I want to focus on this one. I live by the faith of Jesus Christ. Of course, we believe in the faith of Jesus Christ. We believe in Jesus Christ. We have that, but it says we are to believe, we are to live by the faith of Jesus Christ. We don't need faith for something we already have. Faith revolves around something not seen, something we don't yet have. So when we were baptized, this is what we were confessing. I believe Jesus Christ. I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe in Him. I believe in His sacrifice. I believe in His life. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and verse 24. Romans 8 and verse 24. It shows this point. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we with patience wait for it. And so from this, and I understand that it's using the word hope here, and I've told you before, they're not the same. But it are based upon a lot of the same foundational points, some of the same foundational information. And I'm not giving a sermon on hope, but we can see through these verses here that Paul had faith toward God because he believed God. He's saying, what we already have, we don't have to hope for it. It's not a matter of faith, we already have it. And so we see that he believed God. He had an unquestioning conviction that God would indeed do what God said he was going to do. And all we got to do is look at the life of Paul after he was converted, walking on the way to Damascus to bring Christians, true believers in Jesus Christ, maybe to their death. And Jesus Christ knocks him down. He says, why are you doing this? And I love this passage, you know, there in Acts, whenever he says, Lord, boss, what do you want me to do? And his entire life changed. Changed. And that was total faith in God. From that moment on, he was doing all that he did was as a faith in God. Faith toward God. Let's go to Acts chapter 27. Acts 27. Verse 22 through 25, Acts 27, verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of man's life among you, but of the ship. What he's saying is, none of you are going to die. Paul was on the ship. Horrible storm comes up, looked like they're about to die. And Paul is reassuring these men. And he's a prisoner. Remember, he's a prisoner on this ship. You know, and he says, oh, wait a minute. Now, I'm telling you, be of good cheer, for no loss of man's life will be among you, of any of you who are on this ship. Verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whom I am and whom I serve. Would you feel real confident in this? With this storm is raging out here, is blowing. I mean, these are sailors, and they are afraid. You know, I just don't see a lot of times sailors, these guys out there being really fearful of storm, but they were afraid. Saying, this is what the angel of the Lord said unto him, fear not, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given you all them that sail with you. Wherefore, or therefore, sirs, be of good cheer. And it's the rest of this phrase. Because I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told unto me. I believe God is going to do exactly what he told me. So stop your worrying. And none of them were lost. What was the physical evidence? It was the contrary of what Paul was telling them. He's standing there telling them the physical evidence, what they saw indicated the very contrary, that they were about to die. So we see then that faith toward God involves simply believing what God says. And this sounds very simple, doesn't it? And the reason is because it is simple. Faith, in one sense, is a very simple thing to understand. Living it is the problem. The living it in our lives is where the rub comes. So with this in mind, what we've covered to this point, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's go on in this topic of faith toward God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter 1 verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So what he's telling us is this kind of faith is going to be tested by fire. And the end result is much more precious. Much better. What he's telling us is we can expect difficulties and persecutions in our life of faith, as well as a life of blessings. So with that in mind, let's see some benefits or some of the blessings of faith. Well, the first thing that I have, as I put in my notes here, is faith brings salvation. I think that's a pretty good blessing. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." So, brethren, whosoever believes in him can have eternal life. Put down John 3:16. Because that's what it says. We're not going to read some verses. I'm going to give you some verses. I'm going to make some statements. I'm going to give you some verses. You can write them down because this is what the verses are telling us. "And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." John 5, verse 24. "Because the just will live by faith." Romans 1, verse 17. So it's a way of life. It's a way of life. So faith brings salvation. Am I implying that without faith there's not going to be salvation? That's what I'm reading. Without faith, there will be no salvation. So faith brings salvation. This is one of the blessings of having faith. A second one is faith brings all the benefits of salvation into our lives. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We just read them. We just read that. And this will include such things as healing, peace, love, joy, deliverance from demons, and others. Those are some of the benefits of salvation that is brought into our lives. Another point, another blessing, benefit of having faith is faith brings answers to prayers. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. Matthew 21, verse 22. And whatsoever things we ask in prayer, really believing, we will receive. And you know, since Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew 6 and verse 11 that we are to pray for our daily bread, I think it's that we can make the statement that faith is therefore a key to our material or our physical needs. Could we have our daily bread without praying for it? Yeah, there's a whole lot of people in this world. There's a lot of people in this world that don't have any food, and I'm not dealing with those. I'm talking about people who have food. There are people who never pray, who do not believe God, and they have food. So what is God telling us here? That we're to trust God. That we go to God. That we believe Him. That our whole life is altered. We go to God and we thank Him. And Jesus says, and when you pray, pray in this manner: Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And then we are told to pray for our daily bread. That it comes from Him. That He brings it forth out of the goodness of His being. Upon the just and the unjust, yes. But we are there believing God. And so He wants us to do this because this draws us even closer to Him. So I think that we can make the statement. To the true believer, faith is therefore an important key of even our material or our physical needs. A next point that I have is that faith is a spiritual force. I mentioned this earlier, but I want to add to it. It is a spiritual force through which our service for God becomes effective. Faith is a spiritual force through which our service for God becomes effective. Mark chapter 11, Mark 11, verse 23. Mark 11, 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be you removed. Don't you see this, how this ties in here? This is the context of it. This is what he's talking about. And be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now go to Matthew chapter 17. Now let's go to Matthew 17, verses 19 and 20. Verses 19 and 20. Matthew 17, verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why cannot we cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, Because of your unbelief. That's interesting. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, then you shall say to this mountain. It's the same story, it's just more to it. He just based it upon faith and unbelief. We can't because we have unbelief. Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So in other words, faith is a major key to success in our life as a Christian. Then another point as a benefit or blessing of faith is the major key for an effective service toward the work of God. Oh, we can do things, but do we want to have an effective service toward the work of God? In Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 8, it says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I want you to put in your notes again, Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Jesus Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, in this human body, as I walk around in this human covered body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus lives in the true believer. And Jesus desires to reveal the power of salvation to his followers in a way that we can see and we can feel, we can sense, we will know that he is present. In this way, therefore, our service, our work concerning the kingdom of God will not be just in talk, but it will also be in power. It will also be because of the faith is a major key in an effective service that we have toward the work of God, toward doing, you know, whatever it is God is asking us to do and how we live our lives. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. That's what we've just been seeing. Okay, now I want to go back to another place we've already been to, and that's to Ephesians chapter 2. We've been there before, but I want us to go back. And I want us to understand, brethren, that we cannot work up this saving faith toward God. It is his gift to us upon real conversion and repentance. That is why we saw a lot of this in doctrine number one, repentance from dead works. That's what we were seeing. And that is why we see why it is number one and why we see that faith toward God is number two. One has to come before the other. It has to be here. And by the time we get to the end, we're going to see that they all have an order in which they have to come. And we'll tie it all together. So like I said, God willing, if I'm able to go through all of this, then we'll tie it all together in a way that I hope that it makes it a lot more even sense to you. But I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 2 again, where we've been. We read this before. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, I want you to go to Galatians 2 once again, this time verse 16. Galatians 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say faith in Jesus Christ. Do we have to have faith in Jesus Christ? Absolutely. But it says, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. We have Jesus Christ living in us. It's more than having faith in Jesus Christ. We have the faith of Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is there. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So what we see is Paul is not saying by a man's faith in Jesus Christ, although that is absolutely important because it's the starting point. Paul is saying, by the faith of Jesus Christ. It is saying, the faith of Jesus Christ. So to me, a logical question now would be, so how do we obtain this faith toward God? This saving faith of Jesus Christ. Well, first of all, we repent of dead works. Second, we must be baptized as a symbol of our faith in Christ's precious blood to blot out our past sins, burying our old selves with him in that watery grave. And the third thing is we then will receive a portion of the very faith of Jesus Christ. Because that's whenever it's going to be in us. And I realize that's through the laying out of hands. And so I'm not jumping ahead. That's one of the others of these basic doctrines. But that's how it technically comes about. And then if we use it correctly, will eventually result in our ultimate salvation, which is eternal life in the family of God. It sounds like this is all so simple. And it is. The plan of God is so absolutely simple to, you know, whenever our mind is open to be able to receive it, to be able to hear it, and to put it down in a 1, 2, 3, you go, that sounds so simple. It's because it is. Because it is. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 2, James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work. In other words, it's going to play out. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. When faith is tested, it builds patience. And brethren, please understand this is a lifelong process, and God gives us everything that we need to receive this salvation. So I think that we can clearly see that faith toward God is absolutely needed to receiving salvation. This teaching of faith toward God, this doctrine of faith toward God, is not just a ho-hum doctrine. This point is a vital key to salvation. So therefore, just as repentance from dead works is important, that we have to start there, we also need to understand that we must also follow up with faith toward God. And the Aaronic blessing, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God has so blessed us with so many truths and knowledge of understanding of who he is. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again these foundations, these basic doctrines, but our belief, total trust and belief in God.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.